So I don't have a slide on financial relationships, so here it is. I apologize. I made a big mistake by not putting in that slide. I have no conflicts of interest report. Just want to let you know. Yep. So my paper is entitled Crowd Out and Exposure Effects of Physical Comorbidities on Behavioral Healthcare Use and Implications for Disparities in Access. And my co-authors are here. They're predominantly affiliated with the Center for Multicultural Mental Health Research. And I'd like to acknowledge some funding from the National Center of Minority Health and Disparities, which is now a national institute, and the NIMH. So a significant chunk of this paper is actually conceptual. So this will be a little bit different presentation in some ways. I'll spend a lot of time thinking about presenting to you how we thought about a conceptual model for how comorbidities may contribute to mental health care disparities. And then we've tested this empirically, but it's in some ways a secondary part of the paper. So so some of the methodology may get some short shrift in these 15 minutes, so I apologize. So the motivating question for us was, why are there such wide mental health care disparities? So the Latinos and African Americans, in studies that we've done and other people have done, they're half as likely to receive mental health services as non-Latino whites. And this ratio is as big or bigger than just about every area of healthcare services. So this is a dramatic disparity in healthcare. A number of people have looked at other pathways, SES, language barriers, insurance, regional factors. Some of these become difficult to find policy handles for. And so we thought, well, maybe if we investigate what happens at that primary care provider visit, maybe we'll find a handle that's a little more readily available. So we looked at comorbid physical health conditions, and whether or not this was a pathway. And this is quite relevant. Blacks and Latinos have, blacks have twice the rate of diabetes as non-Latino whites. They have higher rates of kidney disease and hypertension, but lower rates, at least lower recognition of cancer and cardiovascular disease. So they're at the doctor more because of diabetes. They may be at the doctor less because of these other diseases. There are multiple opportunities for them to hit the healthcare system. And then mental health care is more likely among individuals with comorbid conditions. There's a little bit of back and forth in the literature about that, but the majority of the evidence says that for those with comorbid conditions, they're more likely to have mental health care. So we really focused on the primary care visit with this national data that we have. We end up using the MAPS. I'll talk about that a little bit. So we asked this question, do comorbidities make it more or less likely that a primary care provider will recognize mental illness in their patients? And we hypothesize that there are sort of two mechanisms that may be at play, thinking about what happens at that visit. The first is that there may be a crowd out. So there's 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes in a primary care visit. If this person has severe diabetes or heart problems, then there's just not going to be much time to talk about mental health. And so we envision that there would be sort of a crowd out, especially at those initial visits, that there just wouldn't be enough time. There would be little recognition by the primary care provider. The other mechanism is we thought, well, those with these physical health problems hit the system a lot more than those without these physical comorbidities. So these repeated visits may represent sort of an exposure mechanism that may influence mental health care, may influence comorbidities differentially. So this is just another graphic that sort of shows how we've been thinking about how comorbidities may factor into mental health care use. Typically, mental health comorbidities are thought of in here as mental need for mental health. An individual that has vascular issues may also be more likely to have depression. Their depression may be more severe. And so it's usually thought of as a measure of severity. And then what we look at is this specific relationship between comorbidity and mental health care use, but now thinking about the system effects, what happens at that primary care provider level, rather than thinking of this as severity. So as I said, there's sort of this crowd out phenomenon that could happen, and this would sort of decrease the mental health care use for those with comorbidity. And this is that first mechanism that we were thinking about. And on the flip side, this sort of increases the number of PCP visits, and that may generate more recognition of mental health need and more mental health care visits. So if there is this sort of systems level mechanism driving some of the disparities in mental health care, then we think that this may have implications for how we more generally, and now we're sort of stepping back and asking how we normally measure disparities. Typically, what many of us do is run regressions. We put a lot of variables on the right-hand side and isolate that effect of the race-ethnicity coefficient. And if it's significant, then we say we have disparities. And what that does, if we have a lot of these physical health comorbidities on the right-hand side, is it essentially adjusts for those physical health comorbidities. It makes the racial and ethnic groups even on those physical health comorbidities. And if this is a measure of severity, then maybe that's the right thing to do. We may think of those severity differences warranted or justifiable. Those who are more severe, they should have more mental health care, so let's kind of take that out before we measure disparities. But if there are system issues, if the PCP and the systems around the PCP are having a more difficult time recognizing mental health problems in those initial visits, or more likely to find these mental health care problems after repeated visits, then maybe that's a system issue, and we may want to think about that in our disparities calculations. So we don't want to put that on the right-hand side and simply adjust away those differences that are due to these system-related variables. So now moving to our empirical analysis, we test these crowd-out and exposure hypotheses at the primary care visit. We compare patterns of care between individuals with and without comorbidities. And then we step back again and we ask what this really means for measuring disparities. Does it make a difference whether we adjust for comorbidities or not? We use the medical expenditure panel survey. We use the panels 5 through 11, which are 2-year overlapping panels between the years of 2000 and 2007. The MEPS has great objective health status, or decent objective health and mental health status variables, really nice utilization variables. So every visit, every prescription fill that an individual has in those 2 years is recorded. And the timing of those is recorded in the MEPS too. And then, so we've split the data into this kind of year one and year two data, and we think of these as pre and post periods. And here's where we get some leverage in order to do our analysis, is we break this subsample into those who seem to have probable need for mental health care. They are in the lowest tertile of the SF-12, the mental health component of the SF-12, and they have no pre-period, no year one mental health care visits. So they have some need, but they aren't having any visits in that pre-period. And then they hit a primary care provider visit in year two. So they have some need for care, they haven't been to a mental health care visit in at least a year, and then they hit a primary care provider visit. And so we see what happens after that temporally. And then in our models, we have a lot of other measures of physical health status, mental health status, demographics, and SES, which we control for. So for the crowd out, for looking at the crowd out hypothesis, we have a logit regression. And now we're looking for the probability of some initiation of mental health care within 30 days of that primary care visit. And we focus on this comorbidity main effect to see if there are differences between those with and without comorbidities in actually having that mental health care visit right after the primary care provider visit. To test the exposure hypothesis, we do a regression of initiation of mental health care anytime in that year two. We're worried about the post-period visits being endogenous, being correlated with a lot of unobserved severity effects, so we use an IV regression with our instrument being pre-period visits. So that's for those two kind of systems-level hypotheses, how we test those. And then to step back, we see whether makes a difference at all. And to do that, we predict disparities between Latinos, African Americans, and whites, with and without adjustments for the comorbid physical health conditions that we have in our data. Okay, so here are our crowd out findings. This is the probability of initiating mental health care 30 days after that first PCP visit. So we're in year two, this person needs mental health care, or probably does. They hit a PCP provider visit, And then we see if they do seek mental health care after. So the first thing to notice is that there are very low rates. This is 3% for whites. There are disparities, large disparities between whites and African Americans and who gets a mental health care visit after that primary care visit, and small disparities between whites and Latinos. And what was surprising to us is that there was no difference in that initiation by comorbidity. So within race, there's very little difference here in the probability of initiating mental health care 30 days after that first PCP visit. And we've sort of flexed the number of days out to 60 and looked at the first, second, and third visit in year two, and it seems to be a consistent finding that this crowd out effect doesn't happen, at least in this kind of national data set. The exposure findings were much more in line with what we hypothesized. The more post-period primary care visits, the more times that you hit the healthcare system, the more likely that you were to be recognized and then to initiate some mental health care problems. So now we're up to almost 15% of those who had a number of primary care visits did have mental health care sometime in that year or two. So our exposure findings do seem to come out. This is true in both univariate and multivariate models. We played with nonlinear and linear instrumental variable models, and it comes out in both that greater exposure to the PCP was significantly associated with initiating mental health care. We also found that individuals with multiple comorbidities were much more likely to initiate mental health care in that post period than those without comorbidities. So that exposure effect does seem to play out in that second year. So now we look at more broadly at initiation of mental health care in year two for those who we think are in need. And again, we see these 2-to-1 differences. So the disparities are there. So when we step back and we look at disparities, only 18% of whites were initiating mental health care, but about half that for blacks and Latinos. So using this sort of new temporally sequenced variable of access to care, we see those same disparities persist. So then we look at what difference does it make, whether we adjust for disparities or not. So you could think about this as including the comorbidity on the right-hand side of the equation or not. We actually used a more complicated way so that we could have a fully specified model, but that's the gist of it. And the predicted disparity changes by about 0.5% for blacks and for the black-white disparity calculations, and 0.4% for the Latino-white disparity calculations. So these are statistically significant, but rather small. The disparities are large and significant, and it matters just a little bit whether or not we adjust for comorbidities. So to sort of wrap up, we didn't identify crowd out as a mechanism in our study. And if this is really true, if we can replicate these, then this sort of raises the question, many people are arguing that the PCP visit needs to be longer. Well, for recognizing mental health care, maybe it's not true that increasing time at that initial primary care provider visit will improve recognition or initiation of mental health care. There seems to be no difference right now between those who have comorbidities or not, so maybe that those first couple visits, there's just poor recognition across the board. On the other hand, we are using a national sample and inferring a lot about what happens at that primary care provider visit. Studies that look at videotapes and explore in a qualitative way what happens between the provider and the patient are needed. And then we also found this exposure hypothesis to be really important for identifying those with need for mental health care. And an implication there is that improving rates for checkups, so having regular visits for those with cardiovascular problems, may have these sort of spillover effects into recognition of mental health care. Those who are comorbid, if we can get racial and ethnic minorities to keep up with their routine visits, then there's probably a greater likelihood that if their comorbid mental health conditions will be picked up. And then more methodologically, to think about what we should do with comorbidities. There's sort of a case to be made for adjusting for comorbidities, which many of us have done, is put that comorbidity on the right-hand side when we're looking at mental health care use disparities. There are large rate differences in some of these physical health comorbidities, diabetes being one of them. and they certainly impact the severity of the mental health condition. On the other hand, there does seem to be some system action going on here, and so we don't want to lose that. We don't want to adjust away. We want to hold the healthcare system accountable for its role in increasing mental health care disparities. And maybe if there is some of this exposure effect or some crowd out effect happening, then we may not want to simply equalize physical comorbidities across the race ethnicity groups before we identify disparity. But in the end, this is a point that we've made in a number of papers, that just throwing a lot of variables on the right-hand side and then saying, looking at that black race or that Latino ethnicity coefficient, we're really urging people not to do that. There are comorbidities is one example of that, but you could think of geography, you could think of marital status as operating, as being differences that are both warranted and unwarranted, justifiable or not. So I'll stop there. Thank you.